Father, as we enter your presence tonight, we're so thankful for the privilege to be able to come before your throne tonight and hear what the Holy Spirit has to say tonight. Father, each and every person here tonight, as they receive this message tonight, a boldness will begin to manifest in their spirit. They'll begin to understand and see what the Holy Spirit has been showing them. They'll begin to understand with their mind, Father, and take it and use it in everyday practice. Father, I thank you tonight that Gary is totally led by your Holy Spirit in each and everything that he does. We care not what about man has to say, but Father, only you and the path that you have chosen for us is where we choose to follow. Father, we're so thankful once again for your presence tonight. We thank you that you are the greater one. And we give you all praise and respect and authority. And we're so thankful to be one of your own, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I've been having a good time this last week. Got to preach at Dave's last Wednesday. Hallelujah. Thursday night here. Sunday night at Abundant Life Fellowship. I've been having a good time. Jody helped. Didn't she? Yeah. Yeah, hallelujah.
Had the part well.
Did that help you guys understand grace better? Boy, it did me. And again, if you're hearing my voice on this tape and you don't know what I'm talking about, you can have the tapes free from those two services. One of them is called The Grace of God in Worship. The other one is called Rapid Debt Reduction. Or I could have titled it What God Taught Me About Getting Out of Debt. Glory to God. He's done it twice. First time was $250,000, just right at it. Got us out of debt. The second time was $23,000. Everyone say, God is smart.
God is smart.
He doesn't like it. When his kids
are in bondage
to the lenders. He wants you free.
He wants you free.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
If you don't have those two tapes and you're hearing my voice, you can have them by writing Gary Carpenter Ministries, Post Office Box 9667, Tulsa, Oklahoma 74157. They're absolutely free for the asking. Hallelujah. Okay. As most of you know, and some of you don't, we started something new. You've got these little black spiral or a notebook, black ring binder notebooks. And, you know, we've been teaching the Bible study for a year, and it's all good. I mean, the Word of God is good. We could start tonight in Matthew 1 and about the begats, and the Holy Ghost would bless you. I mean, there's lessons in the begats about how to live and about the grace and the gospel of Jesus. But it's only the doer of the word that's blessed in what he does. And as we mentioned last week, you can hear the word, which everyone does on Thursday nights. But then, you know, it's 9:30 or so when you get out of here. And by the time you get home and put the kids to bed or get ready for work tomorrow, it's time to go to bed. And you haven't done what you heard. Fully intend to, I know. But then tomorrow, it's the same old rat race. Got to get up, get ready, get off to work, get the kids to school, fix your husband breakfast, whatever it is you got to do. And before you know it, I think we've got a witness here. Before you know it, the next Thursday rolls around, and you still haven't done the word that you heard the Thursday before. So you have that same process, for the most part, over and over and over again. I know everybody's learned some during the last year, and everybody's done some during the last year. But how many wants to be more blessed? I mean, I want God to be able to back a dump truck of blessings up to our house and not even be a speed bump in the way, where he can just dump that dump truck of blessings right on my front porch. How about you?
Amen.
Amen. I want to be a doer of the word all that I possibly can. All that I possibly can. The reason I especially want you to get those two tapes that I mentioned earlier, don't anybody leave here tonight without them. We can make more copies in about 5 minutes now. Thank God our tape duplicator is here. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. But the reason I want you to have them, I think, for those of you that haven't heard it yet, It's just the way a way that the Holy Spirit showed me to teach about grace that I'd never heard before. And I don't think a lot of people have heard it before, but it's so simple. And it's so visual, the way he had me tell it, that it's real easy to receive. So be sure you get those, okay? Now, that gets us up to tonight. Hallelujah. When you're the teacher and you know people are coming and they expect you to say stuff, it makes you get real humble on Thursdays. Say, God, if you don't tell me what to say and if you don't show up, we're just going to have pie and coffee and let everybody go home, you know. And he didn't start telling me until about an hour and a half, well, I guess about 2 hours ago, exactly what it was tonight. Before I get into this one tonight, now last week we taught on the foundation, well actually it was 2 weeks ago, the foundation of all success, which is forgiveness. That's already for you. I think it's already in everybody's binder, and you don't need to study it tonight. Now you don't need to look at it tonight, but that principle right there, you'll find it everywhere Jesus taught. When he taught in Mark 11:23 and 24 about the God kind of faith, at the end of that he says, you know, he's talking about speaking to the mountains, commanded them to go into the sea. He's talking about believe you receive when you pray and you shall have them. All of those faith things that we love, you know. But at the end of it, he says, and when do you stand praying? Forgive. For if you forgive not your brother from your, you know, all their trespasses. In other words, what he's saying is, if you don't start operating in forgiveness, your faith ain't going to work. Forget that. That's the foundation of the kingdom. And we taught that lesson about God basically has forgiven us all a $20 million debt, a debt we couldn't pay. There was no way you could pay for your own sins. He sent his son to pay that price for you. And so then we go around, somebody does something to us that we think's a little bit ugly, or maybe real ugly, you know. And so we're not going to forgive them, though. And then you think you're going to buy God off with your tithes and your offerings, and he's going to be able to back a dump truck of blessings up to your house. No, he's not either. For example, Jesus also taught, he says, when you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember that you have aught against your brother, leave your gift, go, and make peace with your brother, get that reconciled, then come back and offer your gift. Why? He wants you to be blessed on your giving. But if you're going to hold bitterness and strife and unforgiveness in your heart, your giving's not going to work. I mean, you're not going to get a return off your giving. Unforgiveness blocks everything. It is the foundation. It is the cornerstone. So that's what we talked about last week. Now, the doing part last week was to, Jesus' cure for that was to pray. I'm going to turn this light down a little bit. It's awfully hot. That thing puts out a lot of heat. Is that okay? We may have to before it's over here. Is it that warm? Should we get a fan now? Okay, I'm going to stop the tape for just a minute.
Look in my room, you'll see it.
Okay, so I'm not going to review last week's anymore, except the doing part last week. There's a sheet in there about write down the names of anybody that you know in your heart you need to forgive. Okay, y'all remember when we did that? Now, and we actually, you know, to write them down that night and then pray for them. And I'm not saying somebody you want to kill, although if you want to kill somebody, they for sure need to go in there, okay? But we're talking about, you know, when you think of that person, you just know everything's not right between you and them. There's still something here that's put them down there. And Jesus said, pray for them. He says, do good to those that hate you, bless those that curse you, and pray for those that despitefully use you, see? So the cure is to do what Jesus said. It's awfully hard to pray very long. Now, and now pray right, too. Don't get them, God. No, we're not talking about that kind of prayer. Vengeance is yours. Get them, you know. You know what they did to me now? You know, make them lose their job and stuff. Now, that's witchcraft. Now, you're getting over into witchcraft now. No, he means really play, you know, pray for them. Lord, bless them. Jesus, they don't know what, just like you prayed on the cross, they don't know what they're doing. You know, I'm sure if they knew, they wouldn't have done that to me. Father, I'm asking you to bless their life, bless their job, bless their kids, keep them healthy, Lord. I'm asking you to make their marriage wonderful, whatever it is. You know, I mean, any blessing that you would pray for your best friend, pray for that person that you hate, or the one that hates you. That's the cure. That's what Jesus said do. He says, if you'll do my sayings, you're like a person that dig deep and you're building your house on a rock. And when the storms of life come, your faith will work. Your house won't fall. How many don't want their house to fall? I don't want mine to fall. I want my house standing. All right. Hallelujah. Now, doing the word is the key. So, tonight we're going to look at another section. And you can go ahead and look at your handouts. The first one I want you to look at is called Matthew 6 Rewards. Okay. Gerald, where's the extras?
Excuse me?
The extras, they're up here. They're right here. Okay. For benefit of the tape, that's the second one. This is the one I'm talking about right now. This handout that I'm looking at right now is titled at the top, Matthew 6 Rewards. It and the other handout are going to go into the kingdom section of your notebook. Thy kingdom. Okay? Now, I actually taught this lesson more than 6 months ago. Shirley still got an old one. Let me refresh your memory about Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6 is the one that we all... Matthew 6:33 is the one everybody loves. Seek ye... Everyone say it with me. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That's the one how many likes that one? What he's saying there, the verse just before it, he says, don't be like all these unbelievers, these Gentiles who spend their whole life seeking after things. They're running their whole life, everything they think about from dawn till dark practically is, well, how can we make more money and how can we do this and how can we do that? And we got to pay our bills and we need shoes for the kids and we got to send them to school and we got to have this and we got to have longer cars and VCRs, you know? I mean, that same old thing, same old. Trouble is, right, in most of America, you can't find much difference between the Christian and the unbeliever because that same pattern of thought is about as much in the church today as it is in the unbelieving world. You find Christians doing the same thing. I used to do it for years, 18 hours a day, doing my best to earn more money, you know, trying to live the American dream, if you will, the good house, the good cars. And, you know, we used to have the matching Cadillac cars and all of that stuff, but I was also becoming an alcoholic, working 16, 18 hours a day. Jesus says, quit that. He says, you got a stronghold. It's wrong thinking. That's making you operate that way. Hallelujah. He said, it's wrong thinking. That's a stronghold. He says, you're only doing that for one reason. You don't understand the kingdom of God yet. So, we all go to that verse, and I want to obey that verse, don't you? Seek ye first the kingdom of God, don't you, Daryl? I want to do that. Now, most people, when they read that verse, they translate it into action something like this. Okay, well, let's see. I need to quit drinking, smoking, and chewing, and going with girls that are doing. Okay? You know what I'm saying? I mean, what I'm saying is, they'll start thinking, okay, I got to be more holy. Maybe I got to quit, you know. And I hear some preacher, you know, maybe I ought to quit wearing these earrings, you know. I hope to God that's a woman saying, you know. Sorry, I couldn't resist it. It's my generation, okay? You know, I need to, you know, some churches you go to, well, you know, that makeup, you hussy. No, you got to take that makeup off and quit that stuff. To them, that's seeking first the kingdom. With guys, it can be all kinds of stuff. I used to have such a religious spirit, I thought God really wanted me poor. And so when Sue and I really fell in love with Jesus in 1980, and I wanted to serve Him, but I had such strongholds of poverty doctrine in me that immediately the devil was able to deceive me, and we went from a real nice house and two Cadillac cars to the Roach Motel and a junky old pickup we had to raise from the dead. We put the license plate on the front, said Lazarus. We raised it from the dead. That thing had already been put out to pasture in the junkyard, you know. And it was a long time before God could get that stronghold out of me. Okay, I heard him say this. I want to share. You know what God told me?
What?
Listen to this. When he was trying to bust me out of that poverty thinking, and really it was this time around when he was bringing me into full-time ministry, and I'd already made those mistakes back in the early 80s before, that poverty doctrine, and I was so trying not to make those mistakes again, but boy, when you've got a stronghold in you, it's in you. We're going to talk about strongholds in a minute. And I was trying to believe God, and I was trying to believe God, but still yet my, you know, in the natural, the money wasn't coming in. Y'all have heard the testimony. During that time, I was walking the floor and confessing the word, and the money wasn't coming in. And I started thinking those same old thoughts. Well, we're going to have to sell our car, and we're going to have to move to a cheaper place, and we're going to have to this, and we're going to have to that, you know. One day, I was just praying in the Holy Ghost. Everyone say, thank God, for praying.
And
in the Holy Ghost.
In the Holy Ghost.
I was minding my own business praying in the Holy Ghost. And I heard his voice strong, Kevin. Must have been about like it was, you know, every now and then he'd rebuke the disciples for their unbelief. Said he'd upbraid them. Why is it? How is it that you have no faith, he'd say. You know? Well, I think I heard him in that tone of voice. Because here's what he said to me. He said, son, don't you think that I am able to provide for you at least as well as you were able to provide for you? Ow! Now, ow! And I got to thinking. Yes, Susan there. Go, God. Go, God. You go, God. Yes, get him. Get them devils out of him, God. All of them. Hallelujah. I mean, that, you know, that shocked me. I was going, you know, God is so real. You know, you get into this religious junk, and he'll just come with something like that and just slap the religious snot right out of you. I'm sorry, but, you know, just wham. Well, of course, who am I dealing with here? Who is my employer? Y'all remember that night I said, I work for the richest Jew that's ever lived. I mean, he ought to know how to provide for me. He knows everything there is about business. He knows everything there is about ministry. He knows everything there is to know about the principles of the kingdom of God and how they operate. Of course he's able to provide for me and my family. At least, I mean, what an insult, at least as able as I was able to provide for him working in the natural without him. Isn't that something, Randy?
Mm-hmm.
Now see, every head of the household here, every man and every single woman who's head of her household, you're going to have to come up to the same thing. Once you find his will for you in the kingdom of God, he is more than able to provide better for you than you were able ever able to do on your own. Hallelujah. You liking it so far? You liking it? All right, now listen. I taught this lesson several months ago. The tape is not called Matthew 6 Rewards, but this was the final product. In Matthew chapter 6, now see, okay, let me back up. Okay, here's where we were. Most people, when they get serious and they want to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, most of the time the devil's able to lead them off into a bunch of religious junk. Okay? Quit wearing that makeup. Stop wearing those earrings. You know, in some countries, I mean, you know, they even start wearing veils over the women's face. So you can't, just crazy religious stuff. All right? God's not like that at all. It's got nothing to do with seeking first the kingdom of God. Now remember what I always say. If you want to understand a verse in the Bible, don't ever lift it out of its context. Don't lift it out of its setting. You don't need to look anywhere else except right in that same chapter to see what Jesus is teaching. He tells us plainly how to go about seeking first the kingdom of God. If you brought your Bibles, you could open it to Matthew 6, and we'll look at some of them. Matthew 6, starting in verse 1. Excuse me. Hallelujah. I call Matthew 6, myself to me, Matthew 6 is the most powerful chapter in the whole New Testament when it comes to training the human spirit. This is a training chapter. This is not just theory. This is not just knowledge. He gives us things to do here that if you will do them, will transform you and train you, let me put it this way, make you fit for service in the kingdom. You will start developing a servant's heart, and you will start developing a heart full of faith in God where He can use you, where He can use you in His kingdom. For example, the first thing He mentions is in verse 1, Matthew 6, 1, take heed, that means be careful, that you do not your alms, A-L-M-S, before men, to be seen of them. Otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret himself, shall reward thee openly. How many of y'all would like some of those open rewards? Okay? Now, what's he talking about? First off, you got to understand the word alms, A-L-M-S. In fact, go ahead and look at the second sheet I gave you right now called Doing Matthew 6, Doing Matthew chapter 6. Gerald, you need one of these just to look at? Okay. Sorry. Hallelujah. This is called giving alms. Now, before I even read it, just listen for a minute. Alms is not tithes. You need to get that straight. Alms is not offerings given at church. Alms is not anything you might give Sue and I. Alms is not the money you give your kids when they need some money. Alms, by definition, is when you give money to somebody who's worse off than you, who you know they have no way of returning it to you, and you don't intend it. You just give it because they need it. Okay? All right, you got that part? That's what alms are. So we're not... Okay. Now get this. As long as you see yourself as being the neediest person that you know, you will never become a channel of blessing that God can use to cause His material blessings to flow through you to others. No matter how desperate your financial situation is, you will come into contact this week with someone who is worse off than you. Decide now on a certain amount of money, even if it's only $5, you got to start somewhere, that you are going to give away this week to somebody who really needs it. Do it secretly. That's what Jesus said. This is a secret. Everyone say, this is a secret. Only you and God and the person that you gave it to need to know anything about it. Now, see, what Jesus said is you give it in secret. Now, God rewards you openly. Got that part? Now, back up. Look at the other sheet. Put the other sheet in front. Ultimately, let me tell you what God's trying to do with us. Here's the real reward you'll get. Almsgiving. Father, reward me with a heart that prizes people above things. Give me a heart that truly loves my neighbor as myself. That's really that's the training part. That's where God's trying to get you. He says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Okay, especially if you're having financial difficulties and every penny to you is important. It's like a treasure in a way. I'm not even saying in a bad way, but it's important to you. You know, maybe you're having trouble paying your bills. Maybe you're having financial trouble. So every penny is precious. Okay? God knows that. And He says, okay, take some of that precious stuff. It really is. Take some of it and start giving it to somebody worse off than you. Where your treasure is, your heart will be also. If your treasure is in that money and how badly you need it, your heart will follow as you give it to people. And you'll start understanding that God cares more about people than money. Now, that's one reason. Go back to the second page again. doing Matthew chapter 6. Notes. Number one, this is in addition to your regular tithes and offerings. Alms has nothing to do with that. Two, this is in addition to what you might normally give to your family. We're not talking lunch money here. Okay. Three, this is in, now get this, this is in spite of the devil's accusation that you don't have enough to give. Now pay attention. That right there is the very stronghold God is trying to bring down in you. That right there is the stronghold. What an indictment against our God. You still got your Bibles? Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Every time the devil says that, every time that thought crosses your mind, I can't afford it, I want you to speak out loud if you have the guts and say, devil, you're a liar. You're a liar. And you know, how did Jesus resist the devil?
By the word.
By the word. Speak this one to him. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse, hang on, let's see. 10, verse 10. He that ministereth seed to the sower, talking about God. God gives seed to the sower. Every time the devil says you can't afford it, what he's saying is you don't have any seed. That is a lie. Because your Bible plainly says God gives seed to the sower. You've got something. Well, I only have $5. So that. I only have $1. So that. I only have a pencil. So that. You have something that will bless somebody who is worse off than you. Jesus even talked about if you have two shirts and you find somebody that doesn't have one, give them one of yours. You've got seed. And you've got to start somewhere. And the very stronghold, you love me? Can I use you?
I love you so much.
Okay. You remember the night at prayer? One Tuesday night at prayer? And I know you guys were having it rough financially and lots of other ways. And at the end of prayer, you know, you were just almost crying because you recognized the stronghold in yourself. And you said, here we have all these people with all of these needs, and my own problems are so big, I can't even hardly pray for them because I keep thinking about my own. Boy, that is the stronghold right there that God wants to pull down. As long as you are the neediest person you know, how in God's name is He ever going to start using you as a channel of blessing to others? Amen?
That's right. Amen.
Does it make sense? Matthew 6 is a training chapter. Now, okay, go back to the page. Yes, yes.
What verse does she want in chapter 9 in 2 Corinthians?
Verse 10.
10?
Uh-huh. Does it say, he who ministereth seed to the sower? 2 Corinthians 9, 10. You're an 8.
No.
Oh, there it is.
Okay. Now, I'm sorry.
He that ministereth seed to the sower. Okay.
Sure,
sure.
A lot of times,
this is my beloved daughter Angie for benefit of the tape.
I hate to say this about myself. There's been a lot of times like I think, well, maybe I should give $10 an offering. And I go, well, I really don't have the money. And then as the week goes by, the money that I spent on piddly things averaged up usually more than that offering that I should have given in the first place.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you think really about what's more important, you know. I mean, you know, it's just stupid things, you know, a couple dollars here, pizza,
that's right.
You know, things like that that you should, right,
yeah, yeah.
And it adds up way over than the, which I know that was the Holy Spirit to begin with,
that's
to
right.
Give that $10, you know.
And see, God's not against you having pizza and going to the Quick Trip or any of that stuff. What He's trying to do is shake us loose from our thinking that the devil's got us boxed into, that we can't give. Because I didn't look it up, but y'all know this verse is in the Bible, it says, He that gives to the poor, God will repay again. Do y'all remember that? That's a rough translation. It's in Proverbs. But he that gives to the poor, God will repay him again? With interest, yes. God always gives back with interest, see. But how's that ever going to happen if, we can't afford to give? We can't afford to give, see. Now, we're not talking of tithes. We're not even really talking offerings at church, although those are good. We would be talking offerings if they were like, every now and then they take up a collection for the outreach ministry. But when I was praying about this, here's the way God told me to say it to you. Get this. I don't want to get real picky about that kind of stuff. Look at item 4 on the page. It says doing Matthew 6. Hang on, I'll be right with you. His suggestion was for the training purposes, for a while, till you start getting established in this, you give it directly to the person yourself, not through some charitable organization. What he's saying is, I want you, Randy, and you, Tammy, to take $5 and give it to somebody who can't afford to eat today. I want you to see the look in their eye. I want you to start understanding that people are more valuable than money. When you see that look in your eye, you'll start understanding how I feel about them. And then I can start blessing back to you. And the more you understand that, and the more I can put a servant's heart in you for them, then the more I can start trusting you with money. You understand how it works? But you got to start the cycle somewhere. So, all right, everyone say... Oh, I'm sorry. Before I did that, George, you had a question or a comment?
It always sounds like it's always money. Time and service.
Oh, yeah, it could be anything. It could be anything.
Well, I mean, maybe I'm the only one that has that mentality, but a lot of times there's other things that I can give somebody that they need.
This
if
bunch,
I don't have cash, then maybe giving pills to a patient are really important to your time.
Yeah. This bunch right here, primarily right now, he wants them to give money. Time, yes, you can't, it's... Now, Sue Ann's going to be mad at me if we don't get that on tape. What was that? What was it?
If we give pills to a person, they could get us for that.
Oh, that's true. That's true. Hallelujah. Dr. George is a doctor. He is allowed by law to do that. That's a good point. Hallelujah. Yeah. Hallelujah. We're getting big trouble. Yeah, they said it in Bible study. Yeah, he's giving pills. No, it is good. Yeah, he's exactly right. This works in every area. You can sow your time. You can sow anything.
Dr. George is good about sowing encouragement.
I know he is. Okay. In Matthew 6, look down at... if you want to see the crux, do y'all know what crux means? Okay. You know what a balance beam is? Y'all watch the... Okay. The pivot point in the middle of a balance beam, that's called the crux. The pivot point in the center of a balance beam. Okay?
How do you pronounce that word?
C-R-U-X, crux. Okay? Now, I want to show you the crux. I want to show you the center point, the balance. Everything in this chapter hinges on one verse. You ready? And it's Matthew 6, verse 24. In this life now. So, I know. I've been praying. Oh. Matthew 6:24. Here is the pivot point. Right here is the difference between serving mammon and serving God. I mean, here it is, right here. No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, meaning money or the world system. Therefore... When you find the word therefore, you have to remember what it's there for. Now remember what he's talking about, serving God or serving the world system. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body more than raiment? So the reason I'm centering it up on money right now is because most people, okay, we read Matthew 6:33. Look at Matthew 6:32. Or verse 31. Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What he's saying is, Gentiles, people that have no covenant with God, people that are not seeking first his kingdom, people that have no relationship with him, just your normal everyday people, they spend their entire life primarily seeking after things. I mean, they don't have any vision beyond the grave, beyond the end of their own life. And so what's that old saying? The person that dies with the most toys wins. You ever hear that in the world? The old guys say that all the time. Oh, yeah, the person that dies with the most toys wins. That's why guys, especially once they kind of get around that midlife crisis, suddenly they got to have a sports car. Suddenly they need a girlfriend that's 25 years younger than themselves. And suddenly all of this, you know, and they need the fancy computers and they need all of this stuff because the attitude starts being, he that dies with the most toys wins. I heard a good one the other day, some preacher said. No, he said, he that dies with the most toys still dies. You better get it straight. You're still going to die, whether you got all them toys or not. What are you going to say when you stand in front of Jesus? That's what matters. Yeah. Hallelujah. Now, believers that have a covenant with God and see beyond the end of this life. I mean, I like this life. I'm not in any big rush to get out of here. I'm so looking forward to that next life. I mean, I'm looking forward to that next life. Glory to God. Glorified body that won't give me no trouble anymore. Kevin, won't that be something? Just think about that. Able to walk through walls in a single bound, like Jesus. You know? They just walk through a wall and say, hey. You know? And still be able to eat stuff. You know, that's amazing. You'd be able to walk through a solid wall, but then you can eat a solid piece of bread. Amazing to me. This is some kind of body we're going to get. All right? Jesus is going to be on the throne during the millennium. He said we're going to even judge angels. Think about that. I have no clue. I can't even hardly judge my checkbook. Much like, you know what I'm saying? We're going to judge angels, you know. And, it's going to be something else. I'm looking forward to that. And I'm wanting to bring as many people into the kingdom as I can. Now, again, I have to use myself. A few years ago when I was still driving the trucks for Gerald, before I got into this, I was doing like everybody else. I'm trying to make a living. Gerald, was I a good worker? Worked hard, didn't I? I never took a vacation in 6 years. We're, you know, trying to take care of my family. We finally managed to buy a new TV, but in all those years, I never was able to buy a new couch. We always had to wind up buying a hand-me-down VCR. And if God had ever even approached me with the idea, I want you to spend $1,000 this week on a tape duplicator, a professional tape duplicator. Why, God? Well, so you can buy tapes and give them away free. Now, do you think my mind would have been, I can't do that. I can't afford that, you know, because the stronghold in my thinking would have been, we're not hardly making it now. I can't be taking $1,000 and buying no tape machine. That's not even going to make any money coming in. I mean, and do what now? Buy tapes and give them away free? I rebuke you, devil. You know, I mean, you know what I'm saying? That would have been my thinking. Okay? He started training me out of this very chapter. He didn't start off with $1,000. He started off with little things, you know. I want you to give $5 here. I want you to give $10 there. I want you to sow some time. Sometimes it was, let's go visit this person that's sick. He started giving us a heart for people. Okay? And as they started doing that, and as he would start asking us to give a little money here, you know, if he saw a need, do our best. I remember, Sue, we'd sack up, even times when we didn't, you know, we were wondering where our next sack of groceries was coming from. I've seen her sack up 4 or 5 big old grocery bags of food out of our cupboards out there and take them somewhere where we knew they didn't have the money, you know. And we wasn't sure where ours was coming from, but our cupboards are never bare. Now, see, that's the thing. If you can ever break out of that stronghold, I can't afford it, I can't do it, and start putting a little trust in God, he says, if you'll do this, I can start blessing you from the kingdom side of things. You won't have to spend your whole life like these Gentiles trying to acquire things. if you'll start seeking first my kingdom, really, and step one is start giving some of what you have to people that are worse off than you, I, God says, will start providing your things. And he provides nice things. Y'all like that couch? I never could afford to buy Sue a brand new couch in almost 20 years. That's a lazy boy, got a recliner on each end. God gave us that couch. See that microwave over there, brand spanking new? God just had somebody walk in the door with it still in the box. Just came directly from service merchandise, I think it was. Brand new microwave. We never could buy one before. I told you the story about the computer. I hardly have any money at all in that computer system in there that provides all these labels and all these, you know, this printed stuff. And then when God even sent a Xerox machine. Hallelujah. I don't even know why then. I'm beginning to understand now. Right? All this stuff that's going in these notebooks comes off of that Xerox machine. My little printer would never be able to keep up with all of that stuff. See, y'all, it's not just what you guys are getting here. This goes to everybody we mail to. These same things. Oh, and then God says, well, I want you to go out and buy all of these notebooks and buy all of these spacers, and I want you to buy this and buy that and buy this. Now, 2-3 years ago, if my thinking was still like it used to be, where we were barely making ends meet as it was, okay, I'd say, I can't afford that. I can't do that. See? He had to little by little by little break me out of that. Because my thinking now is, if he asks me to do something, he can pay for it. Yeah. I mean, he's able. God's going to ask me to do something that he's not going to give me the money to do it with? That's crazy thinking. That doesn't even make sense. See, and not only that, you'll find out as you obey him, he'll trust you with more. He'll trust you with more, see. Do you understand principle number one? Now, say this at least with your mouth, whether you're going to do it or not. Say, I will. This week. Before next Thursday. Give some money.
To someone.
Who's worse off. Than I am. It'll be a secret. Between me. And God.
And
the person I give to.
And
my Father, who sees in secret, will reward me openly. Father, give me a servant's heart that loves people and values people more than money. Step one. I say, I'd rather just take off my earrings. I'd rather quit wearing makeup. I mean, can't we just be religious about this? Can't, huh? What?
Not me, I'd rather give the money.
Yeah, too. Angie says, not me, I'd rather give the money. Well, okay, let's talk about us guys, you know. Well, I'd rather just go to church on Sunday. I mean, you're talking about opening up my wallet now. You know, you're talking about touching my wallet. You know, they say the last part of a man to get saved is his wallet, you know. Sorry. Well, it's a lot easier to play church than it is to start getting serious. If you're going to seek first the kingdom of God in the same way that Jesus taught it, this is what he said first. Isn't he? Hallelujah. Let me come in here so Sue can enlighten us all.
Need to hear this.
Tell him the one you told me to.
No.
Hallelujah. All right. Item two. Okay, everyone knows the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, so forth and so on, all right? That's also in Matthew 6. Look at the sheet titled Doing Matthew 6, chapter 6, under the Lord's Prayer. Now, understand this. Most people think they have fulfilled what Jesus said when they say the Lord's Prayer. Look at this. The Lord never said to pray this prayer. You look it up in your own Bible. He never said that. He said, after this manner, or follow this pattern when you pray, okay? The pattern he's talking about is this, you guys. When he says, Our Father, which art in heaven, What he's saying is, that's worship. There's only one God. He is your Father. He is totally worthy of your worship. Everything hinges on what He can do for you, not what you can do for yourself. See, the very first thing is God. You know, it's like the Bible, the way it starts off. In the beginning, God. Okay. Well, when you get ready to pray, when you get ready, in the beginning, God, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed, holy, holy be thy name. To me, that means things like this when I'm worshiping God. There is no other God but you. All other gods are false. There is no other gods anywhere. Father, you are God and there is no other. Jesus, you are my Lord. You are Lord of all. All other religions are false. Jesus, you are the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by you. That kind of thing. One God, not two. One. There is no God of Hinduism. There is no Vishnu. There is no Buddhist God. I'm sorry. I don't care who you are. What you know? There's one God. His name happens to be Jehovah. He is the Lord God, creator of heaven and earth. His Son's name is Jesus, and He's made Him Lord of all, and He sent His Holy Spirit to be in you and be upon you. That is God, and nothing else is.
Preach it!
Hallelujah! Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Worship whatever He means to you. Spend time. Just let Him know, I found out you're God. I'm going to worship you. Okay? I'm not going to worship nothing else. You're God. You know, John, my little children, stay away from idols. The way 1 John ends up. Number two, thy kingdom come. This is the same attitude that Jesus had in the garden. Father, not my will, but thine be done. Now, let me tell you right now, I'll just cut through all the crap. Let me tell you why your prayers, and I don't mean just you guys, I mean why the prayers of the Christians at large are not being answered. It's item two. They don't give their life to God. This pattern of prayer, Lord, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in the earth, even as it is in heaven. I don't know if you figured this out yet. Everybody in heaven obeys God. Have you got that figured out yet? There are no rebels in heaven. None. Lucifer tried it once. He got a third of the angels to try it with him. And they all got kicked out. And I like what Norval says. If you make it up there and you decide to rebel against God, He'll kick you out too. He did it with the devil. He'll do it with you. Now, the reason most people never hardly get to first base when it comes to the things of the gospel, they want fire insurance. Thank God for that. And you can have fire insurance and make it to heaven with a little sign around your neck that says, washed in the blood. That's the goodwill of God. Thank God for that, or heaven be an awfully lonely place, because, you know, that's where most people are. I want fire insurance. Serve God. Lay down the rest of my life and do what He wants. Well, I don't know about that. See? Well, you can get in. The blood's enough. Thank God for that. I don't want that. I want to finish my course on this earth. I want to do whatever it is He wants me to do in His kingdom. Jesus, can you see Him in the garden? Father. And He knew what the will of God was, and it was the toughest ever. Nobody ever has had this assignment. Become sin. Take all the sickness and pain in the world upon yourself. Nobody ever had an assignment like this. And He said, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. But if it's not, Father, not my will, but thine be done. Paul said it like this. He says, woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. He says, I'm free not to preach it. I don't have to. But woe unto me. Is because that's the way it's in the King James, that dispensation of the gospel has been given unto me. What he's saying is, that's the job God gave me, is to preach the gospel. Woe unto me if I don't do it. He won't make me, but I sure won't fulfill my life. Now, Is that a little different than mouthing the Lord's Prayer, you know, so you kind of soothe your conscience? I prayed today. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. You know, so forth and so on, you know, and it takes you about a minute. Ha, got that settled. Now I can go live my life. Do what I want today. Do you think that was Jesus' attitude? Boy, it's quiet in this Presbyterian church. Uh-oh. See, that's why most people don't get their prayers answered. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Then all these things will be added to you. We didn't really ever start breaking into the prosperity of God, Sue and I, till we started understanding the call of God. I taught that on a tape called Seeing Beyond the Veil. If you've got that, you ought to listen to it again sometime. What that means is start seeing beyond the end of your own life. Start understanding, oh, I'm in this kingdom forever. I'm already living part of my eternal life right now. And I have a call from God in this kingdom. That's what He's talking to you about. I need to find out what that is and then start being about my Father's business. Now, when you start doing that, you'll find your prosperity right there. Hallelujah. You got that part? This is not a shouting service. Get Wednesday night's tape. Wednesday night's tape's a shouting one. Sunday night is too. Don't leave, you guys, without Wednesday night and Sunday night's tape. They're more shouting type. You'll like them better. Hallelujah. Now, see, after that, once you've worshiped God, once you've, Father, your will, your kingdom, I'm in this for, you know, my life is yours. Whatever you want from me, that's what I want to do. When you start bowing in that way, look what comes next. Give us this day our daily bread. That's what I said. When you start finding out His will for your life in His kingdom, and you start obeying His instructions. See, my number one job is to get you where you hear His voice. Where you start finding out what He wants you to be doing day by day, and then you start doing that, and then your bread's going to start showing up. Give us this day our daily bread. If you determine to put His kingdom first, He will get involved with every area of your life. That's what Jesus meant when He was talking about all these things will be added unto you. Longer cars, VCRs, microwaves, new couches, whatever you need. He'll send you a freight train if you need it to accomplish His will in the earth. He sent Lester Summerall a ship. A big ship. I watched the 700 Club the other day send that first, giant medical airplane that they've built. It's millions of dollars. Have y'all know about that? It's got a whole surgery thing in there, and they can do all kinds of surgery, and they're sending, who did I say? Yeah, Pat Robertson on the 700 Club. Yeah, it's Operation Blessing. And that thing, it's flying all over the world now, and they go into poor nations doing surgeries where they have cleft palates and things that's easily handled by surgery, you know, but they would never be able to get it done for them in those poor countries. And while they're at it, they preach the gospel to them and get them saved. Now, if that's not God, boy, I'm telling you what. But Pat, over the years, Pat Robertson has proved himself faithful and proved himself faithful and proved himself faithful. Now God's trusting him with multi-million-dollar airplanes and the services of professional surgeons and doctors and nurses and pilots who devote their lives now to the work of the kingdom. Isn't that something? Tell you what, God knows how to run His operation if we'll just let Him and get out the way. You know, instead of us trying to figure out what's the plan, please bless it. We need to find out what is the plan. It'd already be blessed. Our job is to find out what He wants us to be doing. Just get to doing that. It'll be blessed. A whole lot of your faith problems will go away. Hallelujah. Once you set about doing it. Now see how these flow. Once you set about that, doing what He said. Now look at verse 5. In the King James it says, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. What? Lead us not into temptation. Okay. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So now we're talking about the leadership of the Spirit. Well, of course, if you're serving God and doing what He told you to do, you can depend on the leadership of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit Himself will start leading you just like He led Jesus. How many of y'all would like that? Yeah. Leadership of the Spirit. It is only those who walk free of unforgiveness and strife that are attuned to hearing the leadership of the Spirit. That's why Jesus put this in this order. This is item 5 on your sheet. You're never going to hear much from the Holy Ghost if you're walking around full of unforgiveness, bitterness, and strife. If you've got one of them old waggy, gossiping tongues that'll reach from the living room to the kitchen, forget that. You're not going to be hearing the voice of the Holy Ghost. That stuff grieves Him. It grieves Him a whole lot worse than those earrings the preachers concentrate on. Or, you know what I'm saying? That's what grieves Him. When we start cutting down one another, envying one another, gossiping about one another, judging one another, you talk about grieving the Holy Ghost, you can pretty well rule out leadership of the Spirit.
Not only that, but you're speaking the word of devils.
That's right. You're actually agreeing with the enemy, which is a form of witchcraft also, by the way. Hallelujah. Sean, straighten up. Item 6. If you're following the Spirit, look at item 6. Deliver us from evil. Following the leadership of the Spirit is the surest way of avoiding the traps and snares of the devil. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Do y'all remember that lesson I taught on the raising of Lazarus and why Jesus didn't come to that tomb? And He says, boys, I'm not walking in the dark. Are there not 12 hours in the day? He says, if you're walking in the light, there's no occasion of stumbling. What He was saying is, the Holy Ghost has already shown me that the Jews are waiting for me there to kill me. Now, once Lazarus dies and they disperse, and we're going to go down and raise him up. You haven't heard that tape yet, have you? You'll like that one. That was the leadership of the Spirit, and that's why He didn't go down there. It was a trap set by the devil. Who makes people sick? The devil. If you were going to try and trap Jesus, draw Him into a certain location, and one of His best friends lived there, what would you do? Make His best friend sick. With the idea that Jesus would come and heal him, they sent for Him. But the Jews were already there waiting, these irate Jews, the Pharisees and Sadducees, and they were planning to kill Him. You can read it in that just the previous chapter. Get that tape. It's called The Raising of Lazarus. If you've got it at home, dust it off. That, you talk about the leadership of the Spirit. That is the leadership of the Spirit. Talk about delivering you out of a trap and a snare of the enemy. Right there is one. Hallelujah. Item 6, we're still on it. Always expect and depend on the Lord to deliver you out of every problem. Say the 23rd Psalm often. Also Psalm 91. He will deliver you. You need to build those two psalms into your spirit where that's bigger in you than anything else. Hallelujah. I better hurry. Item 7. We're still on the Lord's Prayer. We could teach on the Lord's Prayer, I swear, probably 20 Thursday nights and not cover everything in the Lord's Prayer. But at least I want you to have the pattern. Item 7. It ends up praise and adoration. This is the part that says, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now look at this. After all, it really is His kingdom, power, and glory forever. This is praise and surrender to His loving care for you. Actually, what are your choices, Tammy? Think about it. You going to try and be your own God? You going to deliver yourself, are you? You going to lead yourself around the snares of the enemy? See, this is just total... Father, it's your kingdom. It's your power. It's your glory. What you're saying is, it ain't my kingdom. It's not my power. It's sure not my glory. I'm going to serve you. See? Oh, thank God it's you, That's what the world... See, trying to be your own God, that's what the world is trying to do without God. That's what the whole world... I don't need God. I can make it on my own. Yeah, wait till cancer shows up. We'll see how you make it on your own. Now, and I put this like a P.S., because if you read that in Matthew 6, at the end of the Lord's Prayer, he repeats it again. Jesus said, oh yeah, don't forget to forgive. out of that whole Lord's Prayer, that's the only thing He repeats. Why? Because nothing works without it. P.S., don't forget to forgive. Everything depends on that. Now, if we're going to do Matthew 6, all right, I've already got you to confess, you're going to give some money away to somebody worse off than you, right? Mm-hmm. I am too. We won't. Now, when you come back in, I'm not going to ask you who you gave it to because you're supposed to give it in secret, okay? But I covenant with you, I will, between now and next Thursday, give some money away to somebody worse off than I am. I'm going to. Second thing I'm going to do, which I've been doing, I'm trying to get you doing, I won't do it more, pray like this. Pray like this, according to this pattern. This other page will help you. Now, to go back to it for a minute, Matthew 6, rewards. Here's the whole Lord's Prayer, and right underneath it, indented, is really what God's trying to do in you. Remember, this is a training chapter. He's trying to train you into the type of person He can use in His kingdom in a practical way. When you say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name, the reward He is going to give you openly. Remember, Jesus said, pray secretly, and He'll reward you openly. Here's what eventually people are going to see in you. Well, let me put it this way. Father, reward me with a heart that is free of idols. Give me a heart that has no other gods before You. You and You alone are my God. That's the kind of heart you want, isn't it?
Amen.
Hallelujah. See, well, I've already got that kind of heart. Oh, I'm not going to preach on that. It'll take too long. We'll go to number two. Hallelujah. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in the earth as it is in heaven. Father, reward me with a heart that seeks to do Your will above all else. Give me a heart that is free of pride and self-seeking. Not my will, Father, but Thine be done. Item three, give us this day our daily bread. What He wants to develop in you, Father, reward me with a heart that trusts in You alone as the source of my supply. When I come to that part, I like to picture myself stranded on a desert island that doesn't even have one green shrub. Nothing but salt water, not one green shrub. Could I trust my God to keep me alive? He alone is my source. See? He can send the ravens if He has to. He can send the birds if He has to. He can make waters gush out of the sand if He needs to, the fresh water that I need. I want God to be my source, not you guys, certainly not a paycheck, not our mailing list. I don't want anything to be my source but my Father. I like the way Kenneth Copeland puts it. I really do. He says, if my faith won't get it, bless God, we just won't have it. Hallelujah! I like that kind of talk. Hang around me very long, you'll be talking that way. I like it. Glory to God. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Father, reward me with a heart that is free of unforgiveness and strife. Give me a heart that loves You, God, and people more than I love myself. Oh, hallelujah. It's so wonderful to walk free of strife and unforgiveness. I'm not saying I'm perfect, but boy, I'm better than I used to be. I sure walk freer, don't I, baby? I walk freer than I used to be. I'm going to be walking freer next year than I am right now. Okay? Boy, so you didn't have to get that enthusiastic. Hallelujah.
I'm thankful.
Glory. The next item. Let's get off of that one. Isn't she a dandy? I am blessed. I know it. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Father, reward me with a heart that trusts completely in the leadership of Your Spirit. Think about that. Think about that. Every moment of every day, Sandra, thou shalt. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for Thou art with me. By His Spirit He is. And He'll lead you step by step, every step safely, right through the valley of the shadow of death. You never have to worry, because you've got the leadership of the Spirit. Isn't that something? Glory to God. And then at the end, for Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Father, reward me with a heart that understands that I'm really a steward during my lifetime on this earth. You, Father, are owner of all. Jesus is Lord of all. Give me a heart that understands my portion in Jesus' stewardship of Your kingdom. Without Him, I can do nothing. Fill my heart with Jesus. How would y'all like to have hearts already totally like that? I mean, you'd be a different human being, wouldn't you? God could trust you with money and stuff. Okay? You understand what I'm saying? He can trust me with more money next time. If I can be more transformed to this next year than I am now, he can. I got to tell you all Nelson's vision. One time, Bob Nelson, I just love Nelson, he was praying. Now, I think this was a night vision. He had a dream. Y'all know who Lester Summerall is? Anybody in here not know who Lester Summerall is? You don't know? Lester Summerall, he just died this year. He was 80-some-odd years old, though, and he'd been serving God since he was like a teenager, okay? God has used this man all over the world. He's just really something else, you know? And he handles millions, if not billions of dollars for the gospel. Well, for one thing, like he has a big ship, giant ship, and he sends it all over the world to feed nations and preach about Jesus. Okay, so that takes a lot of money. Got it? One time in his night vision, Nelson had this dream, and he saw himself in a car riding down the road, and Lester Summerall was driving. Now, he's never met Lester, but this was just the way it was in the dream. And he got to looking at this car, and like the hand, you know, it was, you had to actually crank the handle to roll up the windows. They weren't electric. And it didn't have nice carpeting on the floor. It just had rubber mats. And he looked at the radio, and it wasn't a tape deck, cassette, CD player, really nice stereo, just an AM radio. And he's looking, and it wasn't brand new either. I mean, it wasn't a junkie, but it wasn't, you know, a few years old. And to himself, within himself, he said, well, now, if I handled the kind of money that Lester handles, I'd sure be driving a nicer car than this. And right then, the Holy Ghost said, and that's why he handles the amount of money he handles for me, and you handle the amount of money you handle. Boy, if there's ever a dream from God, that one's from God, see. Now, God doesn't mind. I mean, Lester did not live bad. You understand what I'm saying? He lived well. But he did have he had a servant's heart. He wasn't going out and buying more yachts and building these, you know, 5-6 palatial homes around the country on people's on little widows' tithes and offerings. Now, I mean, there's just something wrong with that. I'm sorry. Something wrong with that. Okay? Hallelujah. All right. Back to the other page, doing Matthew 6. Boy, this is going to be fast. Speaking of fast, the next subject is fasting. That's the three things seek ye first the kingdom of God. We all go around. Yes, I seek first the kingdom of God. Are you giving your money to the poor? Well, I give it church. No, I'm not talking about that. We're talking about alms. We're talking about giving some of your money that you have left after your tithes and after your offerings at church. That poor person that you saw, did you give them any money? Those people down the street that you know don't have food, did you take them some of yours? Oh. Okay, pray like this. God, my life is yours, not my will, thine be done. People don't do that. They're not going to give their life to God, most people. And then fasting, that's the three things he mentioned. Puke. And he says, puke. All right. What in the world does going without food have to do with anything? Fasting, real quickly. I'm on the page that says doing Matthew chapter 6. First of all, fasting does not impress God. You got that? We do not fast and then say, look how I've suffered. Durst thou not knowest that I love thee now, since I have suffered so? The 20, you know, whatever, you know. No, that's Jesus already did all the suffering required to please God. You got that? Anything you enter into trying to suffer to please God, you're not Jesus. And it's really an insult to the blood of Christ. So it's not got nothing to do with that. You got that straight? Item 2. Fasting does not earn anything from God. That's pretty much the same thing. But fasting basically serves three purposes. One, it trains your spirit to begin dominating the appetites of the flesh. You still got your Bibles? Go to Galatians chapter 6, I believe it is. I didn't have this looked up. Galatians Galatians 5, verse 17. And we'll start in verse 16. There's a war going on all the time, moment by moment, day by day, for every child of God who really wants to serve God and seek first the kingdom. The war is between your born-again spirit and your flesh. Say, can you prove that, Brother Gary? I thought you'd never ask. Galatians 5, starting in verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth, and a good word there would be warreth, against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Okay? All right, now look. If you just... Okay, you can be born... Okay, everyone say, I'm born again. I'm born again in my spirit.
Born again in my spirit.
My mind is being renewed.
My mind is being renewed.
But I live
in an unsaved
body. It's not saved tonight.
It
won't be saved next week.
It'll
only be changed
at the rapture,
at the sound of the trump, in the twinkling of an eye,
and not before.
Now what that means is you're going to have this war as long as you're alive in this body on earth. My body right now wants to eat 3 coconut cream pies. Do you understand me? Okay. You know? Now, I have my own war in the flesh. You guys know me. I'm not trying to, you know, I've still got my own battles going on here. I'm not trying to condemn anybody. What I'm telling you, my body don't ever want to go down to the church and pray. Do you understand me? It don't want to. It'd rather watch Star Trek, The Next Generation. It would rather play on the computer. It would rather just go out and visit with Dr. George. He lives out in the country. I like it out there. It would rather go to the lake and catch a fish. It would rather go to the movies. It would rather do about anything than go to the church and epoxy my hiney in a chair.
It would even rather do housework.
It would rather do housework than
Isn't
go
that
pray.
Sick?
Okay? Yeah. Now, what we're saying is the flesh loves... Hallelujah. We're going to have to separate these two. I can tell this. The flesh loves comfort. The flesh loves pleasure. It will always be seeking for how to go in further into comfort, how to go into pleasure, always, okay? The spirit, man, that spirit part of you that's born again loves God. It will do anything for God, except there's one problem. There's this war going on. Really, your soul is the battleground in between. Sometimes my soul agrees with my flesh. And I stay home and I watch Star Trek. Thank God those times are getting less and less. Most of the time now, my soul and my spirit whoop up on my body and say, get yourself down there. You are going to pray. You are going to pray. Now, fasting, all that does is start asserting a little bit of dominion, letting your spirit start telling your body who's in charge here. Say, I want an extra piece of coconut cream pie. No. You already had one piece. If I leave you alone, we'll get so big we won't be able to fit through the door. If you let your body completely run crazy, you'll be sleeping with your neighbor's wife. So just, what I'm saying, you understand what I'm saying? The body is crazy. It's not saved. It is absolutely the most fallen part of us. It will do whatever you let it do. Fasting starts asserting, again, some dominion over the body. No, you can't do everything you want to do. No. Now, you don't go nuts with this right at the beginning. Let's see, what else have I got here? Secondly, okay, first, it trains your spirit to begin dominating the appetites of the flesh. Secondly, it quiets the voice of the flesh, which makes it easier to hear the voice of the spirit. Our friend George Trubicek tells me sometimes he knows God's trying to tell him something, but he can't quite get it, and he can't quite get it. If he can't quite get it for a while, he'll go on a fast. And eventually, the voice of the flesh starts getting quieter, And then finally, he'll be able to hear what God's been trying to tell him all along. And it's not like God was withholding it. It's just that the voice of the flesh was too loud. He couldn't hear it. Dave puts it like this. I like this too. He says, fasting, the goal is to put your body to sleep. It starts shutting down the digestive systems, all of that stuff on the inside of us. It starts really just putting it to sleep, kind of. And you can hear the voice of your spirit. We'll talk more about, we'll teach more about fasting as we go along, okay? That is the second reason. And the third reason, fasting cleanses the physical human system. If we had time tonight, I'd teach out of Isaiah, which he talks about that. He says, when you fast, one of the rewards to a faster is your health springs forth speedily, okay? Now, most Americans, including myself, are too overweight, eat too much greasy food. I'm too out of shape. All of us in this room practically tonight are too out of shape to go on any long extended fast right off the bat. I love what Kenneth Hagin says. How many do y'all think God has used Kenneth Hagin? Okay. He says in his life he has never been on longer than a 3-day fast. In his whole life, he's never fasted more than 3 days. And he says the reason why? I always got what I wanted from God. Whatever it was he started the fast for. By the third day. Yeah. Whatever it was he wanted to know from God or the answer he was after, always got it within 3 days. So see, there's no, fasting is another practical tool. You don't fast for 40 days because Moses did. You go into a fast because you're having trouble hearing God. Or you go into a fast because your flesh won't let you go pray as long as you need to go pray. You say, I'll show you who's boss. Okay? You see what I'm saying? That kind of stuff. It's real practical. Don't start off on no big, long fast. You'll hurt your body. You're not in shape to do it. We'll teach on that at length sometime. But it does start even now. The way Kenneth Hagin puts it, he says, what God told him was, he says, I'd really prefer you just live a fasted life. What does that mean, God? Just don't let your body have everything it wants all the time. Keep it in check some. Make, you know, so that your spirit man knows it has dominance over it. Okay? Y'all with me? Okay, go back to the other page and then we're done. Said, oh, we've heard that before. No, I mean it. I don't have any more pages. We're about done. Hallelujah. Okay, let's look at fasting here. Here's really the rewards to a faster. Father, reward me with strength in my inner man by your spirit. Give me character of steel like that of Jesus to always walk in victory over the carnal appetites of the flesh. Reward me with the nature of Jesus in my walk on this earth, not just after I get to heaven. The First John, it says, we should walk as he walked. Now, as he is, so are we in this world. How plain can you get? Fasting is one of the tools to get there. And the whole thing was seeking first the kingdom. Let me just read that for benefit of the tape. Father, reward me with a heart that does not serve mammon, but is single-minded in serving you and you alone. Unite my heart, Father, and let me not be double-minded. Since I live in the Spirit by your grace, give me a heart that causes me to also walk in the Spirit while I sojourn on this earth. Father, reward me with the manifested character of Jesus while I live among men. Is that worth going after? Is that worth going after? Okay, real quick. How many of you would be willing this week, just sometime during the week, okay, well, you're going to give some money away, right? You're going to start praying along this line that we talked about tonight. Now, third, fasting. How about one meal sometime between now and Thursday? Are we going to be doers of the word or not? And why? For no other reason, just one, okay. But just for no other reason, except for your spirit to demonstrate it's the boss. Body, you're not bossing me around. I'm just doing it as an exercise. My spirit has dominion. My spirit is boss here. Paul said, I, the real me, I buffet my body. And I keep my body under. Can I get a commitment on one? He said do all three of these secretly, by the way. So I won't ask you next week. One meal? just for no other reason except to say, I'm in charge here. My spirit's in charge. Hallelujah. That's all I have. That's all I have. Hallelujah. Thank you. We've got tapes. Don't leave without those tapes now. Well, hello again. It's Friday morning now, and I noticed that we had quite a bit of space left on the end of this tape, so I want to make a couple of clarifications, and I want to give you just a little bit more information that goes along with the lesson last night. First of all, on the tape, the two handouts that were presented tonight, on the tape I said it goes into the kingdom section of your notebook. Trouble is, if you look at your notebook that we prepared for you, there is no kingdom section. What I had in mind, it's the second section, and it's the tab says, Thy will be done. The reason I said kingdom, the whole section there pertains to Father, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth, even as it is in heaven. So the two handouts tonight go into the tabbed section called Thy will be done. Okay? Now, secondly, when I was teaching there about the alms, giving alms, I made reference to a verse in the book of Proverbs about what the Lord said concerning anyone who would give to the poor. But I didn't actually have the reference. So I went ahead and looked it up now. And it's Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 17. And it says, He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will he pay him again. And you might have noticed on the tape, Dr. George said, with interest. And that's exactly right. God is not in the business. You can look at nature. Whenever you sow, you don't reap back the same thing that you sowed. You always reap it back with an abundance. God set up the laws of nature just like he set up the laws in his kingdom. If you plant a kernel of wheat in the ground, you don't get back a stalk of corn that has one ear on it, and you open up the husk and look at that ear, and there's one grain of corn on there. I mean, you'd never be getting ahead. There would be no advantage to sowing corn under those circumstances. Well, in the same way, the whole purpose of Matthew chapter 6 is taking us carnal flesh creatures, you know, the kind of people that are always concerned about our own needs and that sort of thing. He's trying to take us and train us to be servants in his kingdom, where the uppermost thing in our mind is serving our Father, and you're going to find out that means serving people. So what he's saying here, the more he can trust you, as you begin to start having pity and giving to the poor, and he watches that, and you do it in secret, only before him, because you want to be a servant of his, and you want to have that servant's kind of heart. When he gives back to you, according to Proverbs 19:17, he gives you back more. Why? Well, he can trust you more. As he watches you handle a portion of the money he has sent your way to start developing a servant's heart and give to the poor, then when he returns back to you, he'll return more. Why? Well, he wants you to become more of a servant. Again, if you was to read the history of someone like Lester Sumrall, he didn't start off serving God as a teenager with God providing him ships. And I mean a big ship, you know, seafaring type, loaded with millions of pounds of food to take to foreign nations to feed the hungry. God didn't start him off that way, no. He didn't start Norval Hayes off that way either. He started Norval off in the very beginning of his walk with God. He says, I want you to buy groceries, take some of your extra money, buy groceries, and I want you to go down to the people that live next to the dump, and I want you to take milk and bread and food to those people and give it to them free and tell them I love them so that they'll have food to feed their children. I want the babies to have milk, Norval. I want the kids to have nourishing food to eat. So it started off that way. Well, that's the same principle. Of course, now Norval handles millions of dollars for the gospel. I wish I had time to tell you about some of the things now that the Lord trusts Norval to do, and the amount of money that he places in Norval's hands to get the gospel out and to feed the poor and take care of the poor. Well, why can God do that? He can trust Norval. Norval has gone through the training process. So did Lester Summerall. And the more of a servant's heart that they developed, the more the Lord has been able to trust them with more and more money to be his servant. Jesus said, if you're faithful in little, I'll make you master over much. That's the whole principle. Matthew chapter 6, in my mind, again, is the number one chapter in the whole New Testament that if we'll start putting into practice what Jesus taught there on giving, praying, and fasting, it's a training chapter. It, by doing those things develop a servant's heart. The ultimate goal of Matthew chapter 6, you know that part where he says, hang on, I'm going to turn the tape off and get the verse and read it to you. Okay, and it's Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 19. And it says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. That is the ultimate goal of the kingdom of God. This treasure that he's talking about are people. God's treasure is people. And he's trying to develop servants that will serve him, that he can trust and empower and prosper and enable to serve him in this whole process of laying up treasure in heaven, which is people. The ultimate goal of God and sons, if you want to call it that, the kingdom of God, is to get people born again, to get them walking in love and faith and walking in the truth, and to fill heaven and populate heaven with people. That's what this is all about. Matthew chapter 6 is where Jesus lays out for us certain things that we can do that begin training us to be those kind of servants where the Father can use us to lay up that treasure into heaven. As you become a servant's heart, as you become more and more of a servant in the kingdom, where God knows if he asks you to take some of your money, take some of your groceries, take some of your time, take some of your anything, and start giving that to the poor, and then at the same time, he'll tell you also, minister the love of Jesus to them. Tell them how much Jesus loves them. As you start doing that and are faithful to do that, he will start promoting you in his kingdom in the same way that he promoted Lester, in the same way that he promoted Norval Hayes, Kenneth Hagin, and all these men of God. But it begins with that first step. Take that first dollar, take that first $5 that the devil says you can't afford to give away. Give it. Go ahead and give it. And then trust what God said in Proverbs 19:17. God says, if you'll do that, I'll reward you openly. I will reward you openly. I will return more to you than you gave. Hallelujah. Now, all three of these things, giving, praying according to the pattern there that Jesus taught us, be sure you walk in forgiveness, and then fasting to start letting your spirit take dominion over the carnal appetites of the flesh, those three things, when you start doing them in secret, just before God, not to obtain glory from man, those three things start transforming you from the way you are now. Whatever stage of development you're in, for example, myself, I'm more of a servant of his now than I was 3 years ago when I wasn't serving him at all. But as I continue to do those things, and as you continue to do those things, we all become more transformed into a servant's heart, where our treasure becomes the same treasure that is the treasure to God, and that is people. God loves people. This whole thing is about people. God is interested in rescuing people's lives from hell. He's interested in rescuing their lives from destruction even while they're alive on this planet. He's interested in people having enough to eat. He's interested in people prospering and being in health even as their soul prospers. That's what this is all about. Now, at the same time, don't get this confused with the grace of God. Child of God, listen. The blood of Jesus is enough. We're not even talking about your salvation here. If you have put your faith in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, honey, you are going to heaven. You got that straight? The blood is enough. What we're talking about is, I don't want to just enter heaven with no reward. I don't want to come into heaven with a sign around my neck that says, only washed in the blood. I want to serve my God. Whatever life, whatever time I have left on this earth, I want to accomplish in my life exactly what the Father created me for. And I know you're the same way. So don't ever confuse the grace of God with the training of God. This has got nothing to do with your salvation. This has got nothing to do with how much God loves you. What it does have to do with is how much can He use you? How much can He use you? How much can He trust you with to serve Him in the kingdom? As you show yourself faithful in these things, He will promote you in His kingdom. Hallelujah. I trust this has been a blessing to your life. I encourage you to do the things that we talked about tonight. We sure do love you in Jesus' name. We'll see you next week. Amen.